You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Dog Pound, you can get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, including the Browns 2015 rookie class, offseason team workouts. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dog Bowl, Berea, that's where we're at. We're talking rookie minicamp over the weekend, et cetera, et cetera. And my key takeaways, you want to know who stood out to me? I'll make it pretty easy for you. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Duke Johnson is the real deal. He looked like a man among boys. So smooth, so effortless in and out of his breaks. And what I love to see is something that's becoming a trend in the National Football League. This is a guy who he can flex out for you. He can be all over the field, working as a receiver, catching the ball in the backfield. Anytime he gets the ball, it could be a big play. I thought he was very, very, very impressive.
And when it comes to the running back, simply, you know, because they're essentially a linebacker's arch enemy across the side of the ball from each other, is I just want to see how a rookie like he does transfers once the pads come on. Because the only way a linebacker essentially can negate, because, I mean, there's no linebackers running 4-5 or as elusive as a guy like Duke Johnson. Not across the NFL.
In your day.
Yeah, right. The only way you negate that speed and versatility is with physicality. So how does he react when he gets a linebacker who, you know, bangs him at the line of scrimmage or bangs him at the 3-yard mark when he's trying to put his cleats in the ground to make a cut and he's getting hit? Or how does he deviate in, at, or around a linebacker, you know, where he's supposed to be running his route? And so on and so forth. But I knew Duke Johnson would be a guy, and I think the other guy, Malcolm Johnson, they're raving about him and the versatility he will bring to this offense.
He might be getting into my Fab Five. Malcolm
really?
Johnson.
Wow.
He stood out, made a great shoestring catch one day, very fluid out of the backfield, not afraid to mix it up as well. As I said, Marcel Reese is kind of the guy I compare him to. Not as big as Marcel, but moves incredibly well. Those two really stood out to me. And wide receiver Paul Browning stood out as well. And he ended up getting a contract. And I talked about the other receiver that they signed, Darius Jennings from Virginia. Reminds me a lot of Taylor Gabriel. But when you talk about Paul Browning, 6'2", 218, physical, can run. May not be completely refined, but a lot of potential there. And I thought he stood out. He looked like the best receiver on the field during this mini camp.
Sure. And I think those guys you just mentioned are going to press, you know, Vince Maley, who was kind of available and unavailable this entire weekend. And now he's going to be unavailable. So you can very clearly talk Bo, Hawk, Hartline, Taylor Gabriel. There's four. How many wide receivers are going to carry? You know, 5, 6? And so there's those last two spots that are up for grabs. And that's exactly in the wheelhouse that these guys are talking about.
Well, right now you've got Travis Benjamin, Bo, Kevin Cohn, Taylor Gabriel, Brian Hartline, Hawkins, Maley, Marlon Moore, Rodney Smith. And I think Marlon Moore is going to make it as a special teams guy.
But that trend by this organization, you know, through some of the coaches, is the more you can do, the better. I get that. But if you're not actively participating and be able to be relied upon to run the routes and get reps at wide receiver, you know, you might not be a crossover. Those crossover guys, because it's such a competitive 53, you know, might be a dime a dozen nowadays.
And we'll see, especially if these young guys can come in
and
play
special
teams.
Bartomose is already playing that role.
So you've got, right now, you've got Benjamin, Bo, Cone, Gabriel, Hartline, Hawkins, Maley, Moore, Smith. So you've got 10 plus the two signs. So 12 wide receivers right now for the Cleveland Browns. That's who stood out to me offensively. I thought Cam Irving looked good in pass protection. Nate Orchard got the best of him a couple of times coming off of the edge. He looked good.
Got the pads on, man.
Danny Shelton and Xavier Cooper look dominant. And I will say this, some of the second-year guys who got a chance to be there, Calvin Barnett, my guy out of Oklahoma State, a monster. Jacoby McDaniel also played very well, but Calvin Barnett looked like a man among boys out there. And when you think about, he looked like that in training camp last year before suffering that shoulder injury. I thought he had a good chance to make this team. He continues to be very impressive.
Exactly. And Nathan, you're talking about names that we didn't even add into that 53. So
right.
So when we talk about the competition of this roster, you're talking about names of guys that showed up in a big way this past weekend, will and have gotten an opportunity to continue to prove themselves via OTAs, the vet mini camp, and then training camp. And when we created that 53-man roster, when we were getting between 51 and 55, those names aren't even – or were not a given for us.
Right.
So there's going to be some prove-it opportunities and movement on this roster.
Also offensively, Luke Lundy, who got the contract, looked good. As I said, the guy's 6 feet, 230 pounds, runs like he's shot out of a cannon with a ponytail bouncing in the wind behind him. If he does end up somehow making this team, I mean, he is like – this guy will be a Cleveland fan favorite.
But I just
– not going to happen.
I'm not going to knock him, but could you see him being like the kamikaze special teams guy? Because that's much more of a likely role for him on this team than it is getting an actual rep in the
I don't see him. I don't see – listen, he's – right now – Glenn Winston's a stud. They love Glenn Winston. So I think it's going to be very difficult to see him get ahead of him. But Luke Lundy is somebody who's going to be fun to watch in training camp. I talked about Xavier Cooper and Shelton. Orchard looked good. Hayes Pollard, the inside linebacker, always around the ball out of USC. And defensive backs, Charles Gaines, the rookie out of Louisville, looked very smooth, very natural. Also was catching, fielding kicks. And then Kendall James is a guy that the Browns signed when he was cut last year, was getting a ton of attention from the coaches. They seemed to like him, got his hands on the football a couple times, and he looked good. I get a lot of questions about Kyle Prater. That was the big receiver, 6'5 guy. When you walk out on the field and you see him, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's – he looks the part, can't run.
Okay, so it's not so much – looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
Just can't run.
Looks like Tarzan just can't run.
Just can't run. Okay. Looks like he's running in
just stands. Can't swing on the vines.
Right.
Okay.
Cannot swing on, the vines are not happy with him. So this defensive backfield room now is going to be incredibly – and Deontay Saunders that they signed as an undrafted free agent looked good too. This defensive backfield room is going to be incredibly competitive, and I don't know how they're possibly going to find a way to get all of these guys in here, but – it is going to be a very, very competitive room, and it's going to be tough decisions lie ahead. That's why they have three DB coaches and they got the two D-line coaches, because those guys are going to have their hands full figuring out what to do here on this roster. 216-578-0850. We invited you to call us, but those were just kind of the quick takeaways from rookie minicamp. Connor Shaw looked very much in command, looked like a guy a year ahead of everybody out on the field. The arm strength is still what the arm strength is, but in terms of upstairs, guys, as good as it can be. Let's go to Blanca. What's up, Blanca?
Hello, Nathan. Hello, Matthew. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Blanca, is this the kid's buddy, Blanca?
That's my first question. I am a member of the kid clan.
Yes.
My first question was,
Blanca, you once drove us for my friend's bachelor party on a Hey Butler bus.
You know, in the immortal words of a co-host this morning, no names, please.
Well, good to talk with you, Blanca.
A pleasure. I wanted to ask what quarter you think the kid is going to leave tomorrow night, since he won't be able to stay for the whole game.
In the playoffs, he stayed the whole time so far, but that's a fantastic question. I wish he was here to hear that shot.
Thank God for that. And number two, you kind of I wanted to ask, you were going through who made an impression.
Yep.
Who do you think on the team now watched those rookies and are sitting back going, I better get ready to compete? What players are going, uh-oh?
And this isn't singling out players, but I'll try to answer it in a different way. I think if you are a corner, you're saying, okay, like as good as Kaywan Williams was last year, he's going to be having to work. Robert Nelson is going to have to work. I think Pierre Desir is a different body type than the guys that were brought in. But and Kaywan played great, so you would say he shouldn't have to worry. But I just think there is going to be so much competition there. I think amongst the safeties, there's going to be a lot of competition. I think on the defensive line, if you're, you know, Calvin Barnett, Jacoby McDaniel, if you are, you know, Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn, you need to look out. Dylan Wynn is another guy who actually stood out quite a bit to me, or Wynn Dylan. He stood out quite a bit to me. A defensive lineman out of Oregon State that they signed as an undrafted free agent. He's got a Grateful Dead tattoo on his leg, plays like a maniac.
That was my big guy from the weekend.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
He looked unblockable.
And did you also think Calvin Barnett looked unblockable?
At times, but Wynn was the most consistent.
Okay, so Wynn Dylan.
I thought Wynn, it takes a lot when the media is talking about a guy that is one of 77 on the roster that – maybe 20 of those guys are going to see the field or make the team.
Right.
Maybe at the most. and he was the one guy that was talked about. He had a strong showing on Saturday.
He had a very strong show. I'm glad. Thank you for bringing him up, because he did have a strong showing. So, like, you know, Jamie Meter played in that final game. He's got to be trying to bust his hump to stand out there. It's going to be very difficult defensively. And then I think on the offensive side of the ball, you know, if you're Glenn Winston, you've got to make sure you're holding your spot. They signed two more tight ends. So, you know, I would imagine that the tight ends are going to be a little bit, not that Jim Dray and Barnage and Hausler are in jeopardy, but they're going to want to make sure that
they're getting pushed
because we're going to be paid $1 million a year more than these guys. Yeah. We need to make sure that we're worth that money.
The inside linebacker room,
a guy like Tank Carter, Darius Eubanks, wide receivers. We talked about those guys as well. And again, this is just, it's very, very, it's early. This is a rookie minicamp. And a lot of the guys, when you stand out, you're standing out against a lot of guys who are not going to be in the National Football League. So you should stand out.
Yes.
But they do stand out, and take it with a grain of salt. Again, this isn't football per se, but they did do some 11-on-11. And you got a sense of who had it and who has the ability to compete.
Exactly. And I think moving forward, as we get into OTAs, minicamps, training camp, is the guys that were signed that continue to shine or show flashes of those signs will be most likely the first, second, third round picks. You're talking Irving Shelton, Orchard, Xavier Cooper, Maley, if he were healthy. If he can win consistently against our corners, he can play in this league. If Gaines can cover Hawkins, you know, in the slot, he can play in this league. So they'll get the opportunities. But then also, too, you don't want to look for that significant drop-off simply from drafted guys to undrafted, because as we saw, Gabriel, Crowell, Marlon Moore, those guys did enough last year to prove to the general manager and coaches they deserve to make this roster. And those guys are going to have the same opportunity.
Yes, they will. That's what it's all about, competition here in the Browns model. Let's go to Glenn on the west side real quickly. What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, I was wondering why you think that the Browns didn't take a chance on Lael. I think it's Collins. In the seventh round. I mean, you know, because the thing about it is he's not a subject a suspect yet. But you know, say 6 months from now he is. You've just wasted, you know, just a seventh round pick. So why, you got to risk something to get something.
Correct. So the feeling was that if he was signed as a drafted, no team drafted him as a seventh round pick because he would not sign. Therefore, he could re-enter the NFL draft. And some bizarre rule in the NFL, if you go undrafted, you can't enter the draft again. So once he was undrafted, according to his agent, 30 teams reached out to him. Seattle came out publicly and said they did not reach out to him. So that means every other team but one. I'm pretty sure the Browns probably reached out to him. I know he was very high on the Browns board. And then at that point, it was just open bidding, and he got to choose what he wanted to do. And he went to Uncle Jarrah, who had Dez Bryant call him on the phone and put the hard sell on him.
I don't need my babysitter anymore. You can have mine.
You can have my babysitter. And that's where he went. They fully guaranteed his 3-year deal. They gave him as much money as was possible, and that's where he ended up staying. So I think the Browns did kick the tires. I think the risk to it, if you were going to draft him, it would have been in the third round, which might not have been a bad move. Perhaps he would have signed and you know, he gets cleared and you get a first-round talent in the third round. But I think the risk, they were concerned with some risk factors about it at the time, and they decided it wasn't the most prudent course. A defensive room that is going to be ripe with competition, overflowing with talent, will be the charge of one Jim O'Neill. The defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns addressed the media during the Browns rookie minicamp this weekend. And we will have that interview for you when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.